Please be seated. I hope you're in a cheery mood, because I'm about to fix that. What are you living for? What are you hoping to achieve in life? Something important, something significant, something impressive? Do you aim to make the biggest noise you can as often as you can make it? Do you aim to be small and quiet and keep to yourself? Finding meaning, finding significance is important in our society. The University of Wollongong uses the idea to try and attract students. They suggest, they actually tell in 6-foot-high letters, that the meaning of your life can be found by studying with them. We're going to watch a little video. It's two children. There we go. And it's a windy day, and the girl is chasing leaves, but really, she doesn't care much about the leaves. She's chasing the wind. And there's a little boy there, and you can see he thinks the game is about getting the biggest leaves you can, and he thinks he's won. He's not as happy as her, but she doesn't care. There's no point to her game. She doesn't really care even about the leaves. She's just going to run around, chase the wind, and have a good time. Totally meaningless. Thanks. Last week, David Helms spoke to us from 2 John, but today we're back in Ecclesiastes at the end of chapter 2. I'm going to jump around a bit, but if you want, just stay in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in the Pew Bibles, and everything else I'll be explaining. I'll just do a quick review of the book so far. In chapter 1, verse 1, we're introduced to the teacher, an important man, a wise man. In verse 3, the teacher asks the big question of life. What's it all about? What does a man gain from all his toil under the sun? What's his net achievement? And in verse 13, he sets himself a challenge, the challenge to answer his own question, the question of life. To study and explore everything that happens under heaven, under the sun, and see what is achieved by it. What is significant and important and lasting. He's going to look at everything under the sun. The teacher has looked already, we've gone through in the last few weeks, living for wisdom, chapter 1, verse 17, and he finds it's meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. You can't find purpose in wisdom. You can't find purpose in gaining knowledge. You can't find purpose at the University of Wollongong, he says. Chapter 2, verse 1. Next, the teacher looks at living for pleasure. And then in verse 4, living for achievements. And in verse 7, living for wealth and possessions. And each time he finds these things are meaningless. You can't live for them. They're like chasing the wind. And then in chapter 2, verse 14, he finds that whatever you live for under the sun, in this life without God, in the end, you are going to lose it because you die. Listen to what he says from chapter 9, verse 5. For the living know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. And even their name is forgotten. Living is meaningless. Work is meaningless. Then you die. Then you're forgotten. I meant to have a cut flower with me, but if you can imagine a cut flower, from the moment it's been snipped and popped in the vase, it's already dead. It's already been cut off from everything that gives it life. It still can look okay for a time. It takes a bit of time for it to look dead. We've got some flowers left over from Mother's Day at our place, some lovely bright yellow gerberas, and they're very sad at the moment and they're about to be thrown out. Death is built into a cut flower. Death is built into us now. It makes everything meaningless. What about work? That's what we're going to look at today, is living for work meaningful and significant. Verse 18, it seems not. The teacher says that in the end, He not only hated life, he hated everything he had worked so hard for, because whatever he achieved, he didn't get to keep. When he dies, it goes to someone else, maybe even before he dies. And that person didn't work for it. That person didn't achieve it. They don't deserve it, but they end up with it, and not him. Maybe something like that has already happened to you. Maybe you worked really hard for something, and in the end, you didn't get to keep it. Somebody else got it instead. Some years ago, I built a medical clinic in a slum in Nairobi in Kenya called Korogosho, and then I attached a maternity hospital to it. It took 10 years. We healed the sick and we caught babies. They were the two things we did. Before I started, many babies died at or around birth in that slum. About one in every 12 births, the baby died. The mum did not take the baby home. Once we started, less than one in 100 babies died. Each year we delivered about 1,000 babies, and instead of 85 of those babies, one in 12 dying, about 8 or 9 died. Mums dying went from 1 in 400 mums at birth to less than 1 in 2,000. Altogether, in both parts of the clinic, we saw 40,000 people every year, and we did wonderful things and saved many lives. Then I left, and someone else was in charge, and there was a board. And the clinic started to run down, and the board started to stop attending. And the guy looking after the rental units, which collected rent to subsidise the maternity, stopped passing on the rental money. But I had no control over what was going to happen. Someone else was making the decisions. Work is meaningless, says the teacher. It's as meaningful as chasing the wind, and then you die. Verse 20. This caused him to give up hope. He actually couldn't see any light, to despair over all his work. Verse 21, he says it's a great misfortune. It's not fair, it's not right. All your work adds nothing to you in the end, and it goes to someone else. Work is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Verse 22, so what does work under the sun give you? Well, verse 23, it does give you something. It gives you pain and grief and worries that keep you up at night. Work is meaningless and tough, he says, and then you die. And in verse 24, he says, well, you might as well eat and drink and be happy. But even that, he says, depends on God. You don't have really control over your eating and drinking, and certainly not your happiness. God gives pleasure to some and not the others. And as if he says, who knows who he will give it to? Not necessarily to the people that deserve it. People maybe like him that have worked hard with skill and wisdom and sweat and pain. It seems the teacher doesn't like that he can't work for happiness, can't deserve it, and can't even choose it. He only has it at God's whim. So we might find pleasure in our work, we might not. The girl found pleasure in chasing the wind, the boy not so much. It's not something you can choose or have control over, and this seems to add to the teacher's unhappiness. Work under the sun is meaningless and tough, and then you die. But is he right? What does the rest of the Bible say? Is it as depressing and despairing as the teacher says? At the beginning, in Genesis, the first couple of chapters, at the beginning of the Bible, when God created the world, he made humans, Adam and Eve, and gave them good work. But they rejected him. They chose lies told by the snake rather than God's good words. And so they died. Of course they did. They were not made to die, but life without God is not possible. God gives all life. Reject him and you reject life. You die. Death was now built in as a part of all our lives. And the first people did die. They died towards God the very day they rejected him. And they hid from him. They were separated from him. They lost their relationship with their Maker, no longer fit to be in his presence. This is spiritual death. dead towards God, and it happened straight away. But physically, it took a while for their bodies to catch up to realize they were dead. A bit like a cut flower. They did die physically, eventually, but it took time. And while they were waiting to die, God put weeds in their garden. God puts weeds now in every garden. Whatever we work at, now it will have weeds. Nothing runs as smoothly as it should. Work became tough, and then you die. That's Genesis chapter 3, just like the teacher says. And in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, says in verse 20, the world is subject to frustration, to meaninglessness by God himself. The whole world is groaning, verse 22. We groan too, verse 23. Life, work has been made meaningless and is frustrating by God's hand. He has done this. The teacher has painted a picture that is sad. It's depressing. It's despairing. It's without hope. It makes him despair. But he is right. Life is meaningless. Life under the sun, excluded from God, is meaningless. Work is meaningless. Work is tough, and then you die. Do you feel depressed reading Ecclesiastes? Such a depressing book. Such a depressing teacher. And yet he's speaking the truth. Life under the sun is meaningless. Life without God is life without hope. Nothing is achieved and nothing stays with you. So is there any good news? Well, not in Ecclesiastes, not really. But starting back at the very time God cursed our work because we separated ourselves from him, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God promises that a child of Eve would crush the snake that started all this. A human child through whom all that is wrong with the world would be undone. No more weeds, no more death, and best of all, no more separation from God. And the rest of the Bible is a search for that person, that good news of the person that would crush the snake. And I'm going to move right up to the New Testament now, the book of Mark. Mark starts in chapter 1, verse 1. This is the story of the beginning of the good news. There is good news, and it's all about Jesus, he says, right up front. In chapter 1:15, we meet Jesus, and he's declaring, God's kingdom is at hand. Repent and trust this good news. God is at hand. That is very good news. And in chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus tells us that he came to serve by rescuing us. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve us and redeem us by giving his own life in our place. Death didn't hold Jesus down. Jesus rose again. It couldn't hold him down. Death was not the end for Jesus, and if we trust him as our rescuer, if we're prepared to be rescued by him, then we get united to him somehow and his life, and death is not the end for us either. We can have life with God. Life straight away, the moment we believe, we have life with God, our relationship with him. We have spiritual life immediately. The physical life without death takes a bit longer. It takes until Jesus returns and the resurrection occurs. So by trusting Jesus and his rescue, we have life forever, both spiritual and physical. Instead of living our life under the sun, we can now live our life under the Son of God. Life is no longer meaningless because death is not the end of us. God will love us forever as his adopted children. That also changes our work. The New Testament says two big new things that make work meaningful. The first is that our work, the work we're doing here that earns our income, we can now do working for Jesus. We can now not see our employer as our boss, not see ourselves as our boss, but we can do it as working for Jesus. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So all our work matters now, because if we do it as if we're working for Jesus, it shows that we're saved by him, and being saved gives us an inheritance. Doing our work for Jesus doesn't save us. Our work doesn't save us. It shows we're saved. It's evidence that we're rescued, and that gives glory to Jesus, the one who's achieved it all. So our work has changed. The second way work has changed is we can actually do God's work. We can do the work of the Lord. We can join in God's work now. Join in Jesus' work of seeking and saving the lost. We can do that together, and we can do it on our own by letting everybody know that you belong to Jesus, that you go to church. It might prompt them to ask you questions. By bringing God and his good news into conversations. By inviting people to church or to other places where they'll hear the good news of Jesus. By reading the Bible to them, and by directly telling them of Jesus' rescue, of that good news in Jesus. When we do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are doing something that lasts forever, because it's God's work, and God's work always lasts. And our part in God's work goes with us into eternity, into the next age as our crown and our glory. It's because we're doing God's work when we do. And this work is certainly not meaningless. So, if things have changed so much, for Christians, is Ecclesiastes now meaningless? In Ecclesiastes, the teacher says, life under the sun, work under the sun, is meaningless, it's tough, and then you die. But this is important for us to hear, because it's true. We need to understand it, we need to take hold of it. It will contrast with what we have in Jesus and make it all the brighter. And it helps us in relating to others. Because anyone living under the sun still needs to hear what the teacher of Ecclesiastes has to say. People can fool themselves into believing that if only I have this or that, then my life will be okay. But that's a lie that Satan told in the beginning. Nothing under the sun can make our lives meaningful. And until we see this, we may not see the need to be rescued. In order to appreciate the solution to a problem, you need to know the problem. And Ecclesiastes tells us the problem in buckets full. And if we see it as the teacher sees it, we will be desperate for good news. Our friends will be desperate for good news. And the good news we all need is in Jesus. He came from God, beyond the sun, not under the sun, and he conquered death for us, so we can now live with God forever. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, it says, "Because of his great love, God made us alive with Jesus Christ while we were dead, and raised us and seated us into his own presence in Christ." That is where our life is now, right now, if we trust Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 say the same thing. Our life is no longer under the sun. Our life is now beyond the sun, with Jesus at God's right hand. And while we're waiting for our physical bodies to catch up and become immortal and deathless through resurrection, we have important and significant work that God has planned for us. His work to seek and save the lost. Life under the sun is meaningless. Life with God's Son, Jesus Christ, is meaningful. It's not our work that gives us meaning or significance or importance. Nothing under the sun can. because meaning doesn't come from anything under the sun. Meaning comes from beyond the sun. What matters is who we are working for. That's what matters. Meaning comes from God. By working for Him, doing work for Him, doing His work, we can do things that will last forever. So if you want life with God, with meaning, significance and importance, but maybe you don't know Jesus yet, I hope you all do, but maybe you don't. Talk to someone. Talk to someone after this. Talk to Reg or Sandy or I or anybody you're with. Jesus is the one who rescues us from life under the sun. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you made the world frustrating and you made it meaningless so that we might despair of it and turn back to you. And thank you that when we do, you have already done everything to rescue us through Jesus. Thank you that our work can now have eternal meaning and significance. In your Son's wonderful name, amen.